Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Austin Brower, here running the show all day, every day for you guys, bringing you the latest world news and health research and coming up with a lot of different articles here. I've been going over a lot of stuff all morning. I've been up early, a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world, but also some very interesting stuff going on in the world, especially when it comes to health. And one of the biggest health, announcements of the week is the magnesium brain food. You guys have been waiting on it to go on sale. I've had so many people emailing me, texting me, sending me stuff on the website, talking about they're waiting on them to go on sale. It's on sale on the website, already up and running as product of the week. You voted it one on sale for over 10% off right now at healthmasters.com. This is one of the most, if not the most effective formulas we have on the market for helping out, for increasing magnesium levels in the body. I had a real good friend of mine not too long ago. They were having an issue with eye twitching. I think I told you guys that a little bit ago. I was running some issues occasionally, but I noticed a lot of my supplements, I drink my shakes, I throw my magnesium, it would go away. Well, they're having a constant issue with their eye, like twitching, kind of like the eye, around it and the muscle. And I told them, I said, are you taking any magnesium? They said, well, I take a little bit, some stuff here and there. I said, why don't you grab a can of magnesium and mallet or the magnesium brain food? And I said, run it, throw a scoop in water, just one scoop in water once a day and see what happens. By the second day, eye twitching completely stopped, and they changed nothing else in their diet. Nothing changed. And they're like, dude, it hasn't started again. They've used it a couple times, hadn't started. And that's because we have an entire gram of magnesium L-theanate, which is a magnesium that goes right through the blood-brain barrier and is also the most active, bioactive form of magnesium that is uptaken in the body. And then it also has another 200 milligrams of the magnesium and malate, glycinate, which is an incredibly good formula as well. And so people are asking a lot of times, like, it's not a difficult product to mix. It literally mixes in water, super easy. You can put it in the shaker, in a spoon. And I was doing the other day, my buddy was asking about it. I said, dude, just throw it in water. I said, it tastes good. You drink it all the time. It's got a nice little blue look to it, completely natural, no artificial flavors, no artificial sweeteners. And it's fantastic to drink throughout the day while you're active. If you don't want to just drink water, and you don't want to have just, it's bland water, I don't want that all the time, you can mix it in with Muscle Blast if you want, which I do a lot, or you can mix it in with HGH Stimulate while you work out, or you can mix it in with protein shakes and drink it with a shake or a smoothie. Either which way, it's fantastic. It works great. So be sure to grab it on sale at Health Masters, over 10% off right now, and get that magnesium levels up in your body because it has a host of different health benefits, which I'll talk in later on today on the show, going into detail on. So be sure to check that out. Now, one of the first things that I saw here, and this is an article, and I want to kind of expand a little bit on this article because I feel like, again, it's another article that's getting factual information out there on childhood health and diet. However, it's also trying to sidestep what's actually going on behind some of the scenes and the cause of some of the cognitive issues and health issues that we're seeing with children. This article just came out and it said, the title of it is, eating junk food during childhood may lead to long-term irreversible memory issues. And it goes into detail here on how they actually took a research study and they went in and they took mice and they said they gave these mice essentially a fat-filled, sugary Western diet. The study authors then tracked acetylcholine levels among the group of rats following a fatty sugar diet as well as a control group of rats. They analyzed their brain response to certain tasks intended to test their memory. From there, researchers analyzed the rat's brain postmortem for signs of disrupted acetylcholine levels. The memory test used in the study involved rats to explore new objects in different locations. The researchers then reintroduced the rats to a scene that was nearly identical except for the addition of one new object. Rats who had been on the junk food diet showed signs of not being able to remember which objects they had previously seen and when. Meanwhile, those in the control group were more familiar with their surroundings. They said the acetylcholine signaling is a mechanism to help them encode and remember those events. They explained that the signal appears to not be happening in the animals who grew up as adolescent rats eating extremely high-fat, sugary diets. Now, this, I think, is a very factual research study. I think it is bringing some very, very clear things to light, is when you feed children these really high sugary diets, really high processed diets, especially with all these seed oils, with soybean oil, canola oil, it's going to have health effects that are negative, period. You can't go and ingest those compounds on a regular basis, especially in a growing child, and not have side effects. Because, heck, small amount and dosages of adults, they have side effects. However, what I think is also occurring, and it's a combined aspect, is when you combine these levels of food and toxins, and then you start combining also other aspects of the childhood shot schedule with all these different shots that have all these different neurological problems as far as side effects that we know of, I think you build this almost perfect storm. with these kids now that are becoming teenagers, and they literally have an unbelievably short-term memory span. Then you take it into the next level, and you start feeding them social media platforms where they essentially have these 5 and 10 and 20-second reels and TikToks and so forth, which makes their memory span even shorter because they can't actually watch something for 30 minutes or an hour. They can't watch a video or a YouTube video going into detail of a specific topic. They only know how to watch 5 and 10 and 20-second reels. So you get that combination with the childhood shot schedule, which has already been linked to neurological issues. Then you take the aspect of feeding them fatty, sugary foods at young ages, which disrupts their acetylcholine production in their brain, which prevents them from being able to have good memory. You've got this perfect storm of a generation that literally cannot function properly, period. And so, again, that's another reason why it's so crucial to make sure you're doing the best you can to maintain overall health for your children and you're feeding them as good as you possibly can. And like I said before, I know there's certain foods, certain times, people are going to eat stuff, junk food, and kids are going to eat stuff occasionally, and I get that. But the biggest thing, as I said, is try to stick to 80-20 rule on it, not eating this stuff 80, 90% of the time, eating it only 20% of the time, and trying to eat clean the other 80% of the time. Also, too, in other news, as far as world news, this is interesting as well. I've got a buddy who's been in the markets for years, and he's been dumping Tesla stock left and right. As soon as he gets a good number on it, he's basically dropping it. And essentially, Tesla just announced they're going to be reducing more than 10% of their total staff right now, essentially because sales have declined so much in 2024. They want to say the layoffs are coming amid a tough year for Tesla, showing their quarter release beginning of April shows that product deliveries fell almost 10% from the same year in 2023, which that is a huge drop, by the way, because 2023, there was already a drop over 2022, and that's what they're not discussing here. They're saying that factory shutdowns resulting from shipping diversions and also, too, lack of demand for products is essentially causing a massive layoff. They surfaced over the weekend that Tesla reporters at factories in California and in Texas are worried about the upcoming layoffs. Earlier this year, Bloomberg reported that managers at the EV maker were asked to identify which roles were crucial, and some workers' performance reviews are also being thoroughly reviewed. Now, it's crazy about this, too, and another topic that it brought up here, and I was listening to a guy that was involved in the exotic car market. I was watching a video on this. He did a whole in-depth study, and he said the problem with what Tesla has done now is they've created this market where it's almost this, like, it's allegedly this luxury EV brand. They've made a product that's actually very cheap. Quality control is not up to par from anything, but then they have this kind of fancier, new age EV interior with all these different little tech specs that makes the car appear that it's more luxurious than it really is, when in reality, it's very, very cheaply made, and the margins on the product are extremely high for Tesla, and the problem with it is the car has not had any type of revamping for the last, like, 10 years. Nothing's been changing on them at all. They all look the same. They're all based on almost the exact same platform. All the body panels, I think, are used between an array of like 5 or 6 different models. Then there's a couple different smaller ones that they have. There's no difference in them, and they're not updating them. They're not facelifting them. They're just simply doing these tech updates on the screen on a regular basis, and people are starting to realize that these were never luxury brand models. They were products that tried to appear to customers as luxury brand to enter an EV luxury market, but in reality, they're falling way short, and the resale value has been a testament to that, especially in a product that allegedly is supposed to be so valuable to the economy and so valuable to the environment, yet you go buy one for $60,000-$70,000, and it's worth $20,000-$30,000 in the next year and a half, and the depreciation schedule is horrific on those products. So again, that's why they're dropping off, and that's why I've told you before, the EV market is just not something that I recommend anybody get into on this point in time. They're cool golf carts if you want to drive around and do something like that. But as far as actually using them as a real, true, real daily driver to run around and actually travel and do things, that's a whole nother story. Also, too, Target has now gotten in a whole heap of trouble after they've now gotten busted illegally collecting customers' biometric data. A class action lawsuit alleges. Class action lawsuit filed in Illinois claims retail giant Target collects and stores customers' biometric data, such as facial scans and fingerprints, without obtaining consent in violation of the Biometric Information Protection Act. Now, you guys know I've never been a fan of Target over the years, as a lot of stuff they've done has been pretty doggone weird. And again, this just shows you another level on it. They said the violation of the Biometric Information Privacy Act by collecting customers' data without obtaining written consent or sharing data retention and destruction policies. The lawsuit filed last month in the circuit court claims the company did not provide any disclosure to allow customers to opt out of data collection practices. This is huge, by the way. This is why whenever you go and you sign up for something and you log into something, they'll always ask you what you consent to. And they'll have some stuff that's mandatory, like you have to agree of what their actually like security or privacy standpoints. But then there's a lot of them that are optional. And they'll flat out tell you, we're going to sell all your information to third-party marketers. We're going to sell everything that we know about you. And we're going to sell it repeatedly over and over and over again to third-party collectors. And it is a multi-hundred-billion-dollar industry now in the United States as far as selling and sharing your data. That's why I encourage you, do the best you can to protect it. Don't consent to any of that stuff. Don't sell any of that stuff. Don't go along with any of that stuff. And by all means, don't agree to any of that stuff, whatever you possibly can. That's why I tell you, like, on the phones and stuff all the time. I mean, on my phones, I mean, you see it all the time. I've got tape over my front camera on purpose. I do it on purpose because I don't want anybody basically having access to that camera. Same thing on the back. There's no camera option on the back. Why? Because I don't want anybody being able to have access to that without my consent. If I need to use it, I open it up. If I don't use it, I keep it closed. The reason why is they tell you blatantly in the terms and conditions on all these platforms that they will use your camera to record you, analyze you, data log you, and sell your information. They have it in Facebook. They have it in Instagram. They have it on all of them. You consent to it. You go along with it. And that's another reason, too, why I always tell you to turn off your permissions as much as possible. So, again, something that I want everybody to be aware of, something that I want everybody to understand, because there's a lot of weird stuff going on with data collection. And there's a reason why this entire lawsuit is starting to ensue with Target now because of this data collection. Also, too, in other news as well, this is interesting. Head of the German spy agency is advocating for spying on people's speech and thoughts. This is a crazy article here, guys. They're saying here now, Thomas Hobbenwong, the head of Germany's intelligence agency, the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, recently contended in a published in a German paper the necessity for the government to essentially snoop and mitigate people's speeches and thoughts. He defends his presence and essentially says, yes, we often in the media for specific occasions in order to enable an informed political debate, even below the bans, there's part of our legal mandate as an early warning system. And he goes on to say here, freedom of opinion has limits. Listen to this. This is what his stance is. The most extreme limits are set by criminal law. For example, with regard to punishable propaganda offenses or incitement to hatred or violence. Okay. However, even below the criminal law limits and without prejudice to their legality, expressions of opinions can be relevant in terms of constitutional protection and law. If the Office of the Protection of the Constitution becomes active following below the criminality limit, meaning no longer is it a criminal offense of what you're doing, they're now taking a step below and saying, no, we're still going to restrict what you're doing, even though it's not criminal. This is crazy. This means that nothing less than all legal recourse and all review of state actions are excluded. They go on to say here that mentions the freezing of accounts and reporting to trade supervisory authority as instruments to trigger stricter control. Calls to employers, schools, and authorities are all listed as secret measures in this aspect of being able to control what people can and can't say. Meaning what they're saying here, even if what you say does not actually violate the law, they want to go in and be able to have countermeasures to prevent you from being able to speak freely by essentially affecting your school, affecting your work, affecting your finances, affecting your trade, and essentially affecting your bank accounts on all aspects. This is dystopian as it's ever gotten before, because now the level of what we've seen is far past what we saw after World War II, because now it's not just this East-West Berlin aspect on it. You have a digital factor that is rolled in. To where it's not, you know, people talking in secret or people having recorders under their shirt and recording what people are saying and spying on them. You have an aspect now of where people actually have the ability to monitor everything you say because, again, of the consent that you give on these phones with the microphone on, meaning they can start going in and listening to what you're talking about on your phone around you, even though you're not on your phone, in private conversations. This is why I've said repeatedly, and I will say it again, if you're having a private conversation with someone, put your phone in a more secure place that does not have access as far as your microphone and somebody can listen on it. People go, dude, that's paranoid. That's crazy. No, I mean it's very legitimate. If it's a very serious conversation that you don't want anybody else to be having with you, put your phone in a different location and have that private conversation in an area that does not have anything listening and monitoring you. Because when you see stuff like this and you see individuals that are this bent on trying to violate freedom of speech and violate and control what people think and say, it's very clear what their overall agenda is. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. Just like Target got busted, JPMorgan Chase announces they are monetizing $80 million. Listen to this, guys. $80 million. Excuse me, 80 million people. 80 million customers' transaction history for targeted ads. Just like, remember what I just told you a second ago about the multi-hundred-billion-dollar-a-year industry with the stuff that's going on. They said with Chase's own transaction data, brands and agencies can specifically target customers at a scale based on purchase history, such as targeting new, lapsed, or loyal customers. JPMorgan Chase, the largest bank in the United States by assets, quietly announced this month that they are selling their clients' transaction history to third-party companies so they can create targeted ads for their customers. They're selling everything you're buying to third market targeters now, guys, meaning your entire credit card sheet, it will be redacted as far as your actual information, credit card number and information like that on it. What you buy, when you buy it, where you bought it, it'll all be now sold to third party marketers so they can use it to direct target more as far as more ads to you. This move coincides with the launch of the bank's subsidiary firm, Chase Media Solutions, which will monetize their 80 million customers' data in a touted bid to connect consumers with the brands they love. Because you guys know, I mean, remember, it's for your safety and protection. It's for your health. It's for what you love. Don't you want to have every single thing you've ever bought on a credit card, all the information sold to marketers? So they can direct target you even more and more and more. They can link into your social media accounts and target you with those ads there. They can link into what you listen to and give you ads on Facebook. They can link into everything you bought where now you start going to certain areas and they'll have screens up on the wall where they'll say, hey, John, great to see you again. Here's the products that I know you're interested in based on your recent purchase history from Chase. They may not say it quite that blatant, but that's where it's going to go. And it's crazy because all this stuff constantly brings me back to the old movie that came out years ago with Tom Cruise, Minority Report, when everything was retina scan. And they'd take your retina scans and they'd be scanning them when he walked into the mall. There's a scene that's so dystopian because the movie's like 20 years old. But the fact that we're watching almost the same concept now with Target taking biometric data and selling it to third-party marketers. Now Chase is taking everything you purchase on your credit cards and selling it to third marketer. Marketing targets. Now we're coming in now and we're saying, listen, it doesn't matter about your privacy. We're going to sell all your information. And he walks in the movie and Minority Report walks in the mall and the retina scanners automatically scan your retina. And then they start projecting all these different targeted ads on the walls, on the windows, on the columns, everywhere he walks. There's all these marketed ads directly targeted, personalized just for him. Just like the movie, I guess, We Live, you know, obey, consume. Obey, consume. That's what they want to go with this, and that's why they're pushing this agenda on this level to try to force everyone to be constantly bombarded with all this information, all this data, all this marketing. And then again, remember, then you take it a step further. This is just the financial side of it. Then you take the step further of what the NSA does, and they start monitoring everything you buy, everything you look at, everything you like, everything you put in your cart, everything you save in your wish list, every single thing, and they start building a data collection on you. So then they have the ability to predict by almost exact form what you're going to look at, what you're going to do, and what you're going to think at any point in given time. They've already shown this now. You can watch one of the movies that they came out with years back about basically the social media platforms. They said with Facebook, if they follow you on 100 likes, they let you follow 100 things, you like 100 things, they could start with like 95% accuracy, start predicting every single thing you're interested in, every single thing you like, everything that turns you on, everything that turns you off, everything that you dislike, everything that you do like, things that you have for goals, things that you want to do, places you want to go, things you want to see, everything, guys. So again, I know it's a kind of a weird topic, but this is why it's important to monitor your protection and protect your freedom and your privacy as much as possible as well right now. Also, to another news, this is an article that's talking about what's going on with inflation. And what's interesting, you see these terms all the time. Now they're talking about, oh, inflation's, it's coming down, or it's this, and they have this basket of goods inflation. And they base it off whatever's in that basket of goods, essentially. This product, we're at, 3.2% inflation rate, right? Well, here's the manipulated data. They can go in and they can change what's in that basket anytime they want to change the data. The inflationary rate is much, much higher. The inflationary rate is whatever something cost last year. What does it cost this year? Are eggs 20% higher than they were 2 years ago or 1 year ago? There's your inflationary rate on what's actual products. Is something up 10%? Is it up 15%? That's the real data. That's why people are feeling it so much in the grocery store. Like I said, the Lana was talking about the other day. I went to the grocery store and I grabbed a bunch of food, and it's basically just like chicken, green beans, beef. And I walked out, it was like $80 bill. And I mean, I had like two little bags. Like, it wasn't any food at all. Like, it was enough for, feed me for the next couple days. And I was like, golly, this has gotten pricey. I remember back in the day, you go blow like $100 at the grocery store, dude, you got food for like the whole week. You're eating good all week long. But again, this is what happens. And this is why you're starting to see the food go up. And this is one of the reasons why I've told people a year and a half ago, before we started having more price increases, like on the organic food buckets and the meat buckets, I said, those things are just simply money in the bank. That's why I've kept the price on, even though they've had two more price increases on those buckets that we've had. A lot of the buckets that I bought an enormous amount of them while the prices were decent, so I didn't have to eat so much the inflationary cost right now, because they've talked to me. They wanted me to order some more, and I said, I'm kind of holding off right now, seeing what the product price is. Looks like it's, pretty much stable at this point. But a lot of the food buckets, the organic food buckets we have, I've kept them the same price, even with the 2-pack and the 4-pack, because I haven't bought any new ones. And I'm trying to make sure everybody has the ability to stay stocked up on food, because that's the thing that you will always start to see in any type of society. It starts to go downhill. The food prices go through the roof. The ability to access food goes through the roof. And that's why when you start seeing these aspects of inflation, you got to actually look what's really the prices are going on, and not just what the basket of goods that they're telling you about and all the other lies they're telling you to try to manipulate it. Because now I saw, where was it? Powell, I think, the Fed. Yeah, Powell says that inflation progress has stalled and rates are going to hold steady for longer now. So now they're backtracking on lowering rates now. Said that the inflation's stalled. Imagine that. You dumped $7 trillion in the market in 1 year during COVID. And you wonder why everything gets unbelievably expensive. Imagine that. I saw a meme the other day that was funny. It said, imagine stealing everybody's money for 100 years, a full century, you're stealing everybody's money, and yet you're still $34 trillion in debt. And I just kind of laughed, and I thought to myself, isn't that really the accurate part about it? The government steals everybody's money at gunpoint so they can give it to other countries. I mean, I still have yet to understand this concept where the taxpayers are funding money that we're still building debt on because we're insolvent as a country. We're taking money that we're borrowing from the Fed at interest, and we're giving it to other countries that are actually solvent, and we're giving them more money so they can continue to have their foreign wars and buy all their stuff they want while we're taking money out of interest. That shows you the Ponzi scheme, and it shows you what happens when the banker boys, just like the synagogue of Satan that Jesus calls out, the bankers, when they went into the temple and they turned into a den of thieves. These guys know nothing but manipulation. The banker boys know nothing. They don't know how to produce anything. They actually don't know how to make anything. All they know how to do is manipulate money and create money out of thin air, but it's not really creating money, is it? It's creating debt out of thin air, then manipulating that debt in order to buy assets that they can buy with the debt and the money while everybody else continues to feed their Ponzi scheme. And it's quite interesting when you really understand a lot of it. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. Human-caused carbon emissions have no discernible effect on the climate, a new study comes out. Now, this would be an interesting one. So I've seen a lot of people, you get some of these hardcore leftists that are just bent on trying to tell everybody that because we breathe air and because cows fart, the entire Earth's going to heat up and explode. Because I guess, we haven't possibly figured out how to allow cows to live on this Earth for, the last tens of thousands of years. What possible could – this is stupid. The concept that some of these people come up with is not even laughable. It's so dumb. You just shake your head and you're like, wow, you really that dumb? No, they're really that manipulated, or they're really trying to push their agenda. This one on to say here said, despite all the loud and influential people claiming – the so-called carbon emissions caused by humans, essentially it's non-discernible, to quote a prominent researcher. Dmitry Kaminsky, a professor in Greece, published a paper recently that explains using scientific data the expansion of more productive biospheres responsible for increasing carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere, which has just caused a simply greening effect on Earth. He said, while the official story is that most, if not all, of the recent alleged planetary warming is caused by the 4% human contribution of burning hydrocarbons, Kaminsky says this is a nonsense. He said there is no climate emergency, nor are humans responsible for destroying the Earth with industry. He said now certain elements of industry could certainly be cleaned up to produce less pollution and less side effects for humans, such as companies like DuPont and companies like over in China that don't even use wet scrubbers, that companies like places in India that are some of the most pollutive countries in the entire world, yet you never hear anyone bring up the topic of reducing pollution in China. Ever. Period. Topic never comes up. All they keep telling is everybody in the United States, we need to drive EV cars to get 80-mile range with a trailer. We need to pay insanely high carbon taxes. And we need to pay insanely high electric bills. And we all need to start eating crickets and fake meat, because if we eat chicken, eggs, and beef, the world's going to explode. It's stupid. It's unbelievably dumb. You can't even possibly be that stupid at this point. You have to be pushing an agenda. And that's exactly what's happening here. And he goes on to say, the more productive biosphere is what has created a natural amplification of the carbon cycle due to increased temperature. He has this as maybe a primary factor in what's happening here. And he goes also in detail to talk about the CO2 and the entire concept of what they're saying now, that if we go green and we start doing all these green deals on electric cars, it's somehow going to produce it. He said it's not. All it does is create actual more pollution, because of the massive amount of toxins that are released when they do these lithium ion batteries, these lithium mining fields you've seen online. You have in South America, you have in Africa, and these other places that are unbelievably toxic. Then what do you do with all the batteries when these things are shot out after 8, 10, 12 years from now? You've got to try to recycle these gigantic batteries that are literally half the car, and then figure out what to do with them. There's no sustainable model. You know, back when they were building good trucks, Ford used to actually make something that's called the 7.3 diesel. Now, it was a turd. It had no power. I'll be honest with you, they still have no power. Now, you can tune them and do an intake on them and do a few things on them and get them running a little bit better, but they're unbelievably reliable. I knew a guy that had it. It was like a mid-90s, like 97, 98. I used to work construction with him when I was ICF Builders, and the thing had like 450,000 miles on it. It was a 5-speed manual. Had put like one or two clutches in, and I think he had had it for literally like 2 decades. It ran fantastic. It never broke down. He literally did basic maintenance on it, and the thing ran forever. And I said, are you ever going to get rid of this thing? He's like, nah, it's like my work truck. And he had another, a little bit newer truck that he had that was basically more for like going out or doing stuff like that. But he put all the work miles and all the wear and tear on this truck, and it was a workhorse. It didn't break down. And last time I talked to him a few years back, he still had it. You know, it's almost a 30-year-old truck now. It still runs like a top. That isn't sustainable when it comes to the banker model and trying to control and manipulate the population, because you could go take that 7.3, you go throw a 100-gallon fuel cell in the back with an automatic transfer switch, you can literally drive across the country pulling a trailer and still get 18, 19, 20 miles a gallon and go anywhere you want. You want to take it a next step further, you can convert it over to run on vegetable oil. I've had a buddy do that in a 5.9 Cummins. He's ran the thing on vegetable oil everywhere. Smell like McDonald's when you're behind him. It was kind of funny. Ran great. I never had an issue with it. So again, there's all this old school technology, and that part was interesting with running on vegetable oil. All this technology that's long term, that's actually very effective. And in most cases, you can make it fairly clean to some point if you tune them correctly now with a lot of technology. But again, they don't want that happening. Now they have these DPF filters on the diesel trucks that the EPA has mandated that every diesel truck has to have. And then every couple of years, they change the parameters to make them more and more and more restrictive, to the point now I know multiple people that have Duramax trucks and Ford Powerstroke trucks and Cummins trucks that are in and out of the shop all the time now because of failing emission systems with 2,000-3,000 miles on them. Whole system shuts down. Trucks in the shop for months on end can't figure out how to fix it. They replace parts on it, something else fails, because the motors, the diesel engines are not designed to run like this with this many restrictions on them that actually don't reduce emissions overall. Because here's the concept nobody realizes. Back before the EPA went crazy and they first started putting DPFs on these trucks, people were deleting them. They were tuning them clean. You could take a LML Duramax which, you know, mid-2012, 2013 model. You could delete it, pull the emissions off of it, tune it really clean, never smoked, never did anything, and it would average 26, 27 miles a gallon on a straightaway. Then you take the same truck, you leave all the emissions on it, you average 15 to 16. You put a trailer on it, you get down to like 10 to 12. This doesn't make any sense because you're literally burning more than twice the amount of fuel, but it's going through a filter, so there's a little less soot on it. But then if you tune it correctly, there's really no soot at all because it's burning so efficiently, hence the fuel mileage being so high because it's burning every single drop of diesel. These are the concepts that are being put into place right now that they don't want people to discuss and talk about, and that's why we bring them up on our show on a regular basis. And so there's all kinds of stuff that I keep getting asked questions now. Lana sent me an article here earlier, and she was asking me some questions that essentially people were bringing up on IG, and I had a couple of them that I was going to answer on here. And so they were bringing up one topic here. Where was it at? They said, if you don't take vitamins, what vitamins should I start taking? And this is a very important question, and I've answered a lot, and the answer is very simple. The Ultimate Multiple Powder, that's probably the best one to start off with, or the Ultimate Multiple Capsules, either which way, or the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. But I prefer the powder. The strongest formula we have with that. It's a very easy one to take, and it tastes good. If you don't want to taste powder or take powder, you can take the capsules, and it's really, really well. Another one question on here on IG that she wrote down was, what vitamins and supplements should I take after using antibiotics? That's a really good one as well. That's a very common question. That would be the probiotics, preferably the probiotic 350 for at least 2 weeks, and then drop down to the probiotic 330, the probiotic 30, the DF, or the probiotic 100. Those are really important, getting gut microbe back into check. And another product you can also take too at the beginning phase for the first 2 weeks of doing the Probiotic 350 is the GHI Cleanse. I talk about that product all the time. The reason why is because it works so stinking good at detoxifying the body. So that's another one that you can run on there. And that's why it's so important to basically run that, get your body detoxed out. There's another one she sent on here. Why is it so important to speak positively? Gosh, that's a loaded question, man. I could do a whole show on that. So could Dad. One of the biggest aspects of it is because what you say, your brain automatically hears and it starts doing. If you continually tell yourself on a regular basis that you're not doing anything positive and you aren't productive and you're basically this and that, I'm not even speaking a lot of negative stuff because I don't want to say it. What happens is your brain hears what you're saying, and your brain will follow suit what you're doing. That's why when you wake up in the morning, say, I'm extremely blessed and highly favored. I'm going to have a positive day. Everything I do is successful. I'm going to continue to go through this day and make everything I do be successful as possible. You say that to your brain every single morning. Your brain hears it and goes, well, that's what he's saying. That's what he's starting to do with action. Maybe I should probably start doing that, and I'll follow suit, because you have what's called the reticular activator in your brain that essentially it follows what your body's saying, what you're saying. Words have meaning to them. They spell things. They make things. You can form things out of words as far as what you talk about. There's a reason why they have casting spells negatively. The same thing is the reason why it's called spelling. You're spelling things out when you're writing things. You're putting things out there. So if you're wanting to do things and you're wanting to be successful at things, you've got to put it out there. This is what I want to do. This is why I've always told people, and I learned it from Jim Rohn, is writing down your goals, whether it be the monthly goals, whether it be the daily goals, whether it be the yearly goals, whether it be the five-year goals, write things down. One of the most effective things you can do at any point in time, and this is what he always has everybody start out with, and he's passed away now, but I still listen to a lot of his stuff. And he says the first thing to do is, give somebody a notepad. If they do have a notepad, fantastic. Give them a pen and a notepad. And tell them to write down the top 25 things they would like to do, no cap, meaning no restrictions. Doesn't matter on money, time, nothing. What would be 25 things you would love to do, you'd love to accomplish, you'd love to experience, anything? There is no limit on it. Expand your mind, open your imagination, write it down within an aspect. Like, obviously, you know, I'm not going to go fly like Superman, but a realistic aspect of things that you could physically go do, things you could accomplish. Money is no object. Time is no object. And you will be shocked. 25, done. That's all you got to do. You'll be shocked. Most people can barely get past 10. Can't get past 10. They get to 10 and they're like, well, I don't know what else I'd like to do. What do you mean you don't want to do? There's only 10 things you would possibly like to do. No cap, no limit, no monetary restrictions, no time restrictions. 10, that's it? Well, no, I could come up with some more. Okay, come up with some more. And you will find that actually coming up to 25 can be moderately difficult. And what happens is you'll start looking back through those things and you go, wow, Some of these are pretty cool. Some of these I never really thought about. But now you've taken that concept, those positive things you want to do, and you've now written them on paper. So now you see them. You've now spoken them when you're writing them down. You now see them with your brain. You now then focus on them later on throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month when you go back to your goal sheet and you look at them and go, man, you know what? I forgot about number four. I want to go swim. I want to go scuba diving in the deepest pool in the world over in Saudi Arabia. That's one of my personal ones that I would like to do one day. I'm a certified scuba diver. I love scuba diving. I've done open water diving my whole life. They have the deepest swimming pool in the entire world over there in Saudi, and it's primarily for scuba divers. It's insanely deep, and it's got all these crazy things you can do in there. That's something I'd like to do. I never even really thought about it until I brought it up one day, and I saw something on it, and I wrote it down in my book, and then I went back and looked at my goal sheet about a month later, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Ah. Now, I just triggered it again to think about it again. And when you start doing that, you will find over the year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, all of a sudden you'll look down and you'll be like, golly, I've crossed a bunch of these off my goal sheet. What did I do here? I've done this. And you don't even realize the fact that because you wrote it down, because you read it, because you looked at it, because you focused on it, you started to bring it out into fruition. The same concept goes with health. This is why I've always told people before, log stuff down if you're trying to set a specific goal when it comes to weight training, burning body fat, getting in shape. Look at what your weight is. Weight is one of the easiest ways to determine. You get on the scale, you say, okay, I'm 230 pounds right now. I need to slim down. My goal weight is 200 pounds. You write that down on the sheet. Well, now when you look back at that sheet, you're reminded, okay, that is my goal weight. 200 pounds is my goal weight. You may slack off. You don't do anything for a week. You keep eating crap. Then you go back, you're looking through your sheet, and you go, golly, I need to be 200 pounds. Well, let me check my weight again. I'm 229. Okay, obviously I'm not doing something. Let's start tweaking it. Let's get my calories down to 2,000 calories a day. Let's start doing fasted cardio in the morning. We start doing, you know, basically the muscle blast and do 20, 30 minutes of cardio first thing in the morning. Make sure I'm exercising properly and doing muscle, you know, resistance training. Then you go back and you look back a week later and you're like, all right, my goal is 200. What's my scale at? Oh, I'm at 231. Dang, I'm down 9 pounds already. I'm down at 231. I was at 240, whatever the weight may be. I'm just using this analogy. You look down, you're like, okay, sweet. Then you start doing it. And all of a sudden, one day you get on the scales as you're continually riding down. And you look down, you're like, dude, I'm at 204. I'm only 4 pounds away from my goal. You never would have done that in most cases if you did not focus on it, think about it, write it down, and put it into action. That is why answering this question, why it is so important to speak positively, because at that same time, when you're doing all those things, you speak positive in what you're wanting to do. I'm really stoked that I'm 200 pounds. I'm really excited that I burned so much body fat. I'm really excited that I have the motivation to do fasted cardio every single morning that's helping me burn more body fat. I'm really excited I've got really good supplement access through Health Masters to make sure I stay healthy and strong all the time and I can burn body fat more efficiently. That's what we're here to do as well at Health Masters. That's why I try to give you guys the most positive information, realistic information every single day to help you guys achieve whatever goals you're looking for and really stay strong and healthy on a regular basis. There's another question on here that somebody asked me, and it was talking about what issues can be attributed to breast cancer. And again, I'm not giving anybody any medical advice because I'm not telling you what anything to do with that. What I am saying is if I had an issue with my immune system or I was compromised on something, I was trying to make sure I was preventing a certain disease from happening, I would make sure I stay away from the top three, especially females that are trying to stay away from certain ailments, and that would be sugar, caffeine, and alcohol. Those three are the top three feeders of certain cells in the body. Especially disease cells in the body, so to speak. And so it's same thing for men as well, but in women, it's basically more prevalent in that certain type of specific issue in those diseases. And so one of the things is cutting those three things out. And I know some people that's really difficult to do. Again, it's your choice, whatever you have to do, it's up to you. But then on top of that, making sure you're also getting the top three supplements in your body that really help out preventing certain ailments and diseases. And that's the vitamin C, the D3, and the iodine. You can also throw in the zinc. Zinc's important. Depending on if you're in a budget, though, you're already going to get some of the ultimate multiple. But again, the zinc stacks great with the vitamin C, the D3, and the iodine. The iodine is crucial. I talked about iodine for the last week on why it's so important. And then if you're talking about individuals that are trying to help out with cognitive functionings, there's another question here asking how you can prevent certain mental cognitive decline issues. I'm speaking that very, you know, clearly. And issues as people get older and they start having more cognitive decline for certain diseases. One of the biggest things you can run with that is making sure you get omega-3 fats, making sure you're also getting the proper multivitamins, and also, too, the magnesium brain food. This product right here works amazingly well at people that are having issues with memory and cognitive functioning. Along that, it also helps with eye twitching, as I found out. Also helps out with muscle spasms, which is related to that. Also helps out with muscle endurance in the gym. Helps out with energy. Helps out with memory. It's a great product even for kids as well, because remember, children in most cases are very deficient in magnesium when you actually start looking into it, because their diets are so poor and so essentially slim in magnesium. This is why, like this morning, I had Hunter. He was not feeling too well. Kendall didn't feel too well. This day, somebody at school basically brought some grunge with them. They weren't doing bad, this little snotty nose. So I made sure Hunter got stacked up on the vitamin C. He got stacked up, both Hunter and Kendall stacked up on the vitamin C, the ultimate multiple chewable, and also the D3 and zinc. Now, again, small doses of that given over a couple periods of days will have enormous results in young children, because remember, their body weight is different. They don't take as high of a dose as adults do. But again, when you add those compounds to their diet and you start increasing their nutrient intake and you start feeding them clean, you'll be shocked on how much better they feel, how little they get sick. There was one of their friends over the other day. He was on amoxicillin again. He's had another ear infection. I mean, it's like every single time I talk to him, they have another ear infection, another infection. Well, we had to put tubes in his ears. He's got an infection. And again, you know, they got all the shots. That's your choice. I'm not telling you what to do. That's all to you and your parent, whatever you decide to do. You know my stance on it. I have not been shy. I'm very vocal about that topic. So again, it's one of those things that you have to do your own research, but always, always, always look and ask questions before you start making very big decisions, especially when it comes to experimental injections like COVID and things like that into these young children. Because there's one thing about it. There's one thing about it that's very important. Informed consent is something that is crucial to a society. And the government, along with Big Pharma and along with the medical industrial complex, has been trying to get rid of that for years now. They don't want people to have a true informed consent. Real true informed consent would be the doctor pulling out the giant insert out of the MMR vaccine, going through every single side effect that's listed on that sheet and asking you if you are okay and you consent to your child possibly getting any of these side effects. That would be a true informed consent. But the fact is, they don't do that. They say, you need to sign the sheet. Sign informed consent right here. What am I signing? Oh, you're signing basically you understand that any of the issues that occur from this, and this. Sign it. And the parents go, okay, well, you're the pediatrician. You know what's best. You need to know what, you know, could be helping them. Okay, yeah. That's it. Informed consent. The problem with it is that's not true informed consent. The side effects that you start seeing from these shots are enormous. And on the aspect of being able to have the ability to know what's going on, you should have the aspect of informed consent. And that's what they did so much was really crazy is when they did that with the COVID shot. There was no true informed consent with that whatsoever. They told everybody it was safe and effective, and it was 95% effective from preventing you from getting COVID. It was a complete lie. There was no informed consent. They lied to everybody about it in detail. And now you're starting to see people that got these third and fourth and fifth shots. They're having all these health problems. Guarantee you, if you took majority of people that got that shot and you told them, dude, here's the list of side effects that are possible to get this shot. Here's a high risk associated to getting this shot. Are you sure you want to get it? Majority of people would have been like, I may wait on that one right now. We'll kind of figure it out later on. We'll just kick that can down the road because, quite frankly, everybody seems to be figuring out how to handle it. But again, this is what happens when you have individuals that do not give you informed consent and they lie to you. And that's why it's so important to maintain and demand that. Also, too, in other news, this is an interesting article, and it was following up on the Battle of Lexington and Concord, which I've talked about in detail. I did almost a whole show on it one time. Just that time of the year again. And what's interesting is that a lot of people don't realize the war for independence was initiated over gun control. And this, I'm going to be very brief on this. I've gone into detail. You guys can look it up as well. I did a whole show on Lexington and Concord. But it's interesting because it talks about in this article how before the battle, essentially the British Parliament was enacting numerous taxes upon the colonists. They were trying to steal their money with everything they were doing, the Sugar Act, the Stamp Act, the Townsend Act, all these different things. The cry of no taxation without representation led to the Boston Tea Party. Shortly thereafter, the British Parliament declared Massachusetts to be an open rebellion against the crown. Then British Parliament began enacting what was known as the Intolerable Acts, Since Boston seemed the epicenter of much of the resistance, King George shut down Boston Harbor until restitution had been made for the Boston Tea Party, meaning, again, stealing everybody's money. Then King George abolished the colony's charter, replacing the elected local council with an appointed one, increased the military powers of a newly appointed royal governor, then forbidding town meetings without approval. Next, King George allows British officials charged with capital offenses to go to England or another colony for trial. So they didn't even have any accountability there. The last of these intolerable acts allowed the housing of British troops and the dwelling of colonists without their consent, which led to enormous hostility. Doesn't it kind of seem like we're starting to parallel a lot of the stuff that I just mentioned there? You want to listen to that again? Housing colonists without their consent, kind of similar to what we're doing now with this illegal immigration. We're bringing in millions of people. We're stuffing them in hotels. We're telling people up in northern states they simply need to open up their home to all these migrants because, well, it's for your safety and protection. And you need to house, you know, these five or six people that we haven't even vetted. We don't know who they are. Might be MS-13 gang. But we'll give you like $20 a day per person to house them. And going to hotels and taking over all these compounds now, essentially saying that you have to house them. Then you have aspects of here where King George allows British officers charged with capital offenses to go to England or another colony for trial. You see now how we have this complete and total rule of law that's been eroded, where you've got Hunter Biden, you've got the bumbly buffoon Biden, that these guys don't even – they're not even held accountable. Hillary Clinton, Epstein's list, we just take those – we take them out of the subsection, and they're not even held accountable. I mean, you got the Department of Justice comes out and says Biden can't be held accountable for all these different things that he did, including the storage of classified documents, because he's too old and senile to know what he did was wrong. I still can't even grasp the concept that they said that on public. And yet people still just kind of ignore it. They don't even really ask what's going on. Then you have the aspects here where it talks about how King George made everybody give restitution back to the Boston Tea Party with all these different acts, more money, kind of like what they've been doing right now. Kind of like adding another 80,000 IRS agents to start trying to extract more wealth out of the general population for doing nothing. We have more taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes that are taxed on top of money that's already been taxed now. I mean, you look at inheritance tax. This is crazy. I mean, say you had a parent that essentially dies and they leave the child a home and that's it. Child has a home. Adult has a teenager, 18, 19, 20 years old. Comes in, the state says, by the way, your father's left you this home. It's valued at, say, $1 million. Well, we don't want to take your home from you, but you owe us 40% tax on this, you know, because, you know, it's inheritance tax. So you owe us $400,000 based on the assessed value of your house, or we're going to basically seize your home for unpaid taxes. And the 18-year-old kid goes, I don't have $400,000 sitting in a piggy bank. All I got left with is a house. It's an asset that's here. There's no money with the house. Ah, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Here's what we'll do is we'll write you a $400,000 mortgage so you can pay the taxes off the mortgage. Now the home has a lien on it and a mortgage on it that the kid now has to pay for the next 30 years because his father left him a home. This is the kind of stuff they did in England, and this is the kind of stuff that started a Revolutionary War. This is why it's always important you understand if you're leaving your kids stuff, if you have those different things, always look up different types of inheritance laws. Look at things like trusts and start setting them up accordingly because there are way too many taxes that are taxed on top of money that's already taxed. Because remember, with inheritance tax, that $1 million house that was paid for by so-and-so's dad, this is an analogy, he already paid taxes on that money to buy that house. He already paid property taxes to keep that house, and he already paid taxes on the money to keep that house maintained for X amount of time that he had it. So there's already been enormous amount of taxes that were paid on that house, yet the government comes in and says, you owe us $400,000 on this house because, well, we said so. We deem it so. All these things that I just brought up to you here are what started, similarly, the Revolutionary War, and then essentially that's what happened. When you had 77 members of Massachusetts militia commanded by John Parker gathered in Lexington Green around dawn, these men saw 700 British troops marching towards them. The British mayor called for the militia to lay down their arms. The orders from Captain Parker, the militia, were stand your ground. Do not fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have a war, let it begin here. And it did. And so what you see is over periods of time throughout history, individuals always want to control other individuals. There's always this group of heathens, this group of individuals that are very dark, And the only thing they enjoy doing is enacting more restrictions and control over other people. That's why you have to decide whether or not you're going to support them, you're going to go along with them, you're going to embrace them, or you're just going to simply not listen to them on certain topics. Perfect example, and I brought it up repeatedly because it's so new and it just happened, was the incident with the Albuquerque incident down there with the New Mexico governor, where she said, we've got such a problem with gang members coming in and using machine pistols on civilians and gang shootings on other gang members that we're banning all law-abiding citizens from carrying firearms openly or concealed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, because of this massive issue we're having with the influx of all these gang members and machine pistols. That, again, is another individual that's drunk with power. She has no business being in a republic and actually writing any type of enforcing any type of laws. She should have already had been forced to step down. That was such a violation of her oath to office. It was egregious. Yet they're still trying to fight with her back and forth over this. And that's why she finally stepped down. See, the attorney general is like, dude, this isn't happening. Like, you have no authority. There is no precedent to do this. But remember, she did it under the Safety Act. She did it under basically the Wellness and Safety Act of individuals, which is the same thing they did during COVID to tell you you're not allowed to be essential. You can't keep your business open. You're not allowed to drive around after 9 o'clock at night. Remember that? It's after 9 o'clock. It's a curfew in some states. I remember reading about it. In Florida, we did what we wanted here. Nothing really ever stopped. You had these idiots at some of the stores that always tried to force you to wear a mask. And I got kicked out of a lot of them by threatening of law enforcement. But I was like, that's fine. I don't have to buy anything from you. Trust me, you're not going to hurt my feelings not taking my money. I'll go somewhere else that's way cooler than you. But again, there were some states that were nightmarish. They were nightmarish. I mean, there were people getting pulled over in the middle of the night. What are you doing out? It's 9:30. It's COVID ban. Isn't COVID a virus? I didn't know it came out at 9 p.m. Is it the boogeyman virus? No. It was just draconian laws put into place by dictatorial, totalitarian individuals that thought they had the right and control to force people what to do. And that's why you got to ask yourself the million-dollar question. How far do you go along with it? And how far do you push back? And how far do you want to get the truth out there? Because that's why I tell everybody on a regular basis, one of the only things you can do as far as is focus on you, focus on your community, focus on your kids, focus on every aspect of making sure they're being raised properly, making sure your friends and family are being encouraged in certain areas, and your friends around you, people that are close to you, people that have helped you, people that have supported you, people that have had your back. Continue to do the same for them and keep the truth going out there on a regular basis, because there's some people that come into your life sometimes that really have helped you out, and you got to look back at it and be like, okay, here, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. There's certain things that we all have to do with one another as we go through these certain things in life, and you'll realize that a lot of times, if there's something going on and people are on the same page, you may not agree on everything. You're not going to agree on everything at all. There's always going to be disagreements. There's always going to be topics that not everybody's 100% on. But as far as I'm concerned, if people are on a similar page and they're like-minded and they're helping you through this and you're helping through them and you're being reciprocal, keep them around. Stay strong with them. Continue to encourage them and do everything you can around them, along with everybody else, to continue to stay strong and healthy, especially when it comes to mental health. There's a lot of people now. And I encourage you all the time, reach out to people if people are having mental problems. I've talked about all the time. I get emails on it. People that are having issues with depression, people that are having issues with suicidal thoughts, people that are having issues all across the board. Because some people are getting really despondent. They're getting really upset. And sometimes just that little bit of encouragement, just that little bit, that little compliment when you're in the grocery store with somebody. You know, somebody's ringing up your grocery store. Oh, so-and-so, those nails look really nice tonight. Your nails look really good. All of a sudden, they get a big smile on their face. Oh, thank you. Dude, it's not going to change my day one bit at all. I'm saying that. I'm walking out the store, and I'm gone my day, and I'm on to the next project, the next errand, and I'm gone. But again, that may have just boosted them up just enough to help get them through that day with whatever they're fighting, whatever they're struggling through, whatever they're pushing back against, that may help them out. And if everybody continues to try to do that as best they possibly can, things go a lot smoother. The problem with it is now the mainstream media has done everything they can to try to divide everybody into tiny little slivers of pies. Before, the majority of Americans were pretty much divided in a couple sections. That was it. There was big sections. Everybody was in a giant section. Now what they try to do is they try to cut it here and here and here and here and here and here. So what you do is you cut the pie up so much that those factions of support constantly fight with other factions of support because somebody wants to argue about some stupid topic. Like Trump, what's going on with him? That whole thing is theater on a regular basis. They're going to make sure that he does not get elected again. even though it'd be nice to have him back in office instead of this bumbling buffoon, they're making it abundantly clear the rule of law does not exist again with this insanely sham trial they keep pushing over here. It's insane what they're doing to him. It's insanity. And then, like, the article comes out today, oh, he was sleeping in the courtroom in this other, you know, hush money trial. I'm like, I'd be sleeping in it too, man. He's sick of being in the trial with you clowns. This whole thing's theater. It's designed to ruin everything that he has tried to push. And there's things that he did well and he didn't do well. But at the end of the day, it's designed to kill the image of Make America Great Again. I said that so many times. Regardless of what people agree with him, like him, hate him, love him, whatever, it doesn't matter. The concept of what he pushed in the United States was very real. And that was banding together as patriots. And that's what he did. He caused a lot of unity with the patriot community. That big sliver that we used to have, it came together. And a lot of people forgot about some of the things that happened before. And said, you know what? Let's water under the bridge. Let's make America great again. That concept, that ideology does not go along with the New World Order. They knew that. And that's why they've been trying to eradicate it. That's why they try to blame anybody that's a Trump supporter or is a terrorist now. That's what they're doing January 6th. So again, make your voice heard. Don't be suppressed. Speak up for what you truly believe and hold your conviction on every aspect of it, because there are some very strange things going on right now. But sometimes when you encourage others and you gas everybody else up, you say, listen, I feel the same thing. Like I told you that one guy at the dealership, that car dealership, and I went in there and he wasn't wearing a mask. I wasn't wearing a mask. Everybody else was wearing a mask. And I asked him, I said, you're not wearing a mask? He goes, no. He goes, I was wearing it in the store and I couldn't figure out why I was wearing it because everybody else was wearing a mask. I just did it to do it. And he goes, finally, I kept seeing this one guy that was always in the store. He's go work out, come in the store, come in. We ran at the same time. He goes, never wore a mask. And finally I said, he's not wearing a mask. He's just fine. Why am I wearing a mask? And he finally said, I'm done doing it. It's a personal choice. If you don't want to go along with something, don't go along with it. Just say no, as the old adage says. So again, my friends, thank you for the truth and support. Thank you for healthmasters.com, making us your number one stop and shop for all your health needs at Health Masters. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the magnesium brain food. I told you guys, I was throwing it on sale. Great product. Tastes really good. Mixes great with everything. This is actually my personal can. I'll make sure this one doesn't get shipped out. You guys will get it and be like, why is the seal broken on it? Like, whoops, you got my personal one on here. So again, if you guys need anything, be sure to check it out. Fantastic product. Please give me your feedback on it when you try it at Team Health Masters. I'm trying to get as much information as I can out there to encourage others to do the same. Team_Health Masters. Be sure to follow us, write a comment, send us something on there, ask questions. We respond to everything as much as we possibly can. Can't give you always direct health advice when it comes to medical advice, but we can give you a lot of advice on everything else. If you need to get a hold of anything, when you give us comments and you give us feedbacks on all the product, it really helps us out as far as getting the truth out there. So have a blessed, safe, awesome night, my friends. Stay strong, stay healthy. Check us out at healthmasters.com and team_Health Masters. And we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always, my friends. Have a great evening.